Greetings, everyone. Welcome to the Day of Atonement 2016. And time marches on. Here we are now getting ready for the Feast of Tabernacles, and in order to do that, we have to have at-one-ment with God. And actually, that's what the Feast of Tabernacles shows, that we'll be dwelling with God. And you can't dwell with God unless you are first at one with God. So let's come to Leviticus 23. And this is the absolute genius of God's hiding in plain sight his very plan. Because it has to be put together rightly. Rightly dividing the scriptures and understanding them. And that cannot come unless we love God and keep his commandments, his Sabbath, and his holy days. Then the understanding begins to come. And then we realize God's great plan. Why we're here, where we're going, why did he create the world, why the world is in such a mess today, how is God going to handle that, how is it all going to be solved, which is what we're going to cover in the Day's Atonement, Tabernacles, and Last Great Day. At this time, we'll go ahead and take a pause, and we will take up the offering. Now let's come to Leviticus 23, and let's pick it up here in verse 27. Also, on the 10th day of this month, now this is God speaking to Moses, and remember, Moses didn't write a single thing on his own. If you think that that is wrong, go read the account where God instructed Moses to speak to the rock, and it would bring forth water. The first time that that happened, God said, strike the rock, and water will come forth. This time, he said, the second time, speak to the rock, and it will bring forth water. Well, he was so upset with the children of Israel harassing him, demanding of him, that he got angry, and he struck the rock. The water came, but God said, because you didn't believe me and you struck the rock instead of speaking to it, you shall not go into the promised land. Now then, with that in mind, I challenge any doubter to search Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy and find out any law whatsoever that Moses wrote. So when the New Testament talks about the law of Moses, it's talking about the law of God, which God gave through Moses. And the Hebrew is, he spoke by the mouth of Moses. They're his words. Likewise, with the Day of Atonement. Yeah, let's hope we do okay today. Verse 27, also on the 10th day of this 7th month is the Day of Atonement, and you shall afflict your souls, now your soul is your whole physical body, and offer an offering made by fire to the Lord. So we take up an offering on the holy day of the Day of Atonement. And you shall do, now I want you to understand what God is saying here, because three times he emphasizes no work. Verse 28, you shall do no work in that same day, for it is the Day of Atonement in order to make an atonement for you before the Lord your God. For whoever shall not be afflicted, now we know Psalm 37 and in Ezra, that means fasting without food or water. Whoever does not afflict his soul in that same day. He shall be cut off from among his people. Now, how does God cut off people from among the people? You don't have the blessing of God that goes to his people, even though you're dwelling in the midst of them. And generally, as we have seen in the church, sooner or later, they leave. Verse 30. And whoever does any work in that same day, the same one will I destroy from among his people. Likewise, that can be physical destruction, or it can be ruin, even though they still may be alive. You shall do no manner of work. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations in all your dwellings. It shall be a Sabbath of rest, and you shall afflict yourselves. Now, next is how a Sabbath day is defined. From sunset on one day, which begins the Sabbath, to the sunset on another day at the end of it, which is the ending of the day and the beginning of the new day. In the ninth day of the month, from sunset at sunset, from sunset to sunset, you shall keep your Sabbath. Now, God made it very particular there because he didn't want anyone to be in any doubt as to when the day began and when the day ended. Okay? So that applies to all Sabbaths. And all days in the Bible end at sunset, and as soon as the sun goes below the horizon, the new day has begun. People ask the question, well, why did God do that? Well, does God do things that we don't understand? Yes. To our human minds, since we're so logical and know more than God, most people think, morning would be better because that's when we get up in the morning. That's not what God says. So it's the same thing with his word. Because God says so, it is so. It does happen. Now, on this particular day, let's come back to Leviticus 16. Here was a very special ceremony for the priest, for the Levites, for all the people, for the temple and all the land of Israel. Now, let's understand something very important. Whenever Satan is around, there is sin. Now, this is a special offering on this Day of Atonement for the forgiveness of the sins and uncleanness of all the children of Israel, for the priest, all the priests, and all the Levites. And remember this. The high priest could only enter into the Holy of Holies once a year, and that was on this Day of Atonement, to bring in the blood, to bring in the incense, to sprinkle it upon and around the Ark of the Covenant, as well as around the base of the altar, etc. Okay? Then we find this. There was a special offering that was made. Now, let's pick it up here in Leviticus 16 and verse 7. Now, the spiritual understanding of this today with the understanding of the New Testament, what we understand in the Old Testament as well, is this. Satan the devil, the archangel who rebelled, who, as we will see when we get to the Feast of Tabernacles. Why did Solomon go wrong? Well, we will see, because he got his mind on himself. And that's exactly what the archangel, who is a lot of people refer to as Lucifer, when he got lifted up in pride, he thought his glory was as good as God. He thought he was God. And he led a rebellion of a third of the angels, we find out in Revelation 12. They came to assault the throne of God in the sides of the north because he wanted to sit down in the throne of God and say, I am God. Well, needless to say, he failed. And everything that Satan does, though it is something which is accomplished, it always ends in death and destruction and wretchedness. And everything that God does, if people would respond, because as we know, we all have free moral agency, and that is so powerful that God tells every one of us we must choose whether we will love God, keep his commandments, or whether we will serve Satan the devil. Now, because Adam and Eve chose the wrong way, Satan became God of this world, as Paul writes of in 2 Corinthians 4. And as God of this world, he has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. And so this is the way that the world is, walking in darkness and blindness. And didn't Jesus say of those unconverted, let the blind lead the blind, and let the dead bury the dead? Yes, he did. So here on this Day of Atonement, it's a very important thing. And God has concealed the beginning of this truth and how he's going to take care of Satan the devil and what is going to happen to him. He began revealing it here in Leviticus 16. However, some 4,000 years, well, let's see, maybe not 4,000 years, about 1,800 years later, when the Apostle John wrote the book of Revelation, it could not be understood how God was going to take care of it. So let's read about this special offering. And he shall take the two goats and present them before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And Aaron shall cast lots on the two goats, one for the Lord, one lot for the Azazel. Now, Azazel is another name for Satan the devil. And Aaron shall bring the goat on which the Lord's lot fell, and offer it for a sin offering. But the goat on which the lot fell for Azazel, he shall present it alive before the Lord to make an atonement upon it. So we have a two-way atonement here, as we will see. One way for the forgiveness and uncleanness of the children of Israel and all their sin. That's the goats that sacrificed, and the blood is sprinkled on the altar, the burnt altar, and also on the altar of the Holy of Holies. Now, the one that is alive, we will see, is for Azazel, which is for Satan. And we will see that it is kept alive because God is not going to destroy Satan. Now, there's some people who think they're better than God and say, well, now are all things possible with God? And the answer is yes. Now, here's a good example of human philosophical reasoning. Just because God can do anything, and all things are possible for God, and nothing is impossible for him, doesn't mean that your idea of what God should do with Satan the devil has any bearing on what God himself is going to do. And that's the reason why this goat is left alive and taken to the wilderness, removed forever. Now let's continue on with this, okay? Tells what he should do with the blood of all the different animals and the incense and so forth, okay? Now, verse 16. And he shall make an atonement for the sanctuary because of the uncleanness of the children of Israel, because of their sins in all their correction, because of their transgressions in all their sins. And he shall do for the tabernacle of the congregation which remains with them in the midst of their uncleanness. And there shall be no man in the tabernacle of the congregation when he goes in to make atonement in the sanctuary until he comes out and has made an atonement for himself and for his household and for all the congregation of Israel. Okay? Now, verse 18. And he shall go out to the altar that is before the Lord and make atonement for it. And that he shall take the blood of the young bull, the blood of the goat, and put it upon the horns of the altar all around. And he shall sprinkle the blood with his finger seven times and cleanse it and hallow it from the uncleanness of the children of Israel. Now, that was for the goat, which was for the sacrifice, for the forgiveness of sin. This was a foretype of Christ. He's also called the Lamb of God. But in this case, this is the good goat. The other one, for Satan, for Azazel, God had to do something entirely different. So let's see what happened with that. Verse 20. And when he has made an end of the reconciling of the sanctuary and the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar, he shall bring the live goat. And Aaron shall lay both hands on the head of the live goat and confess over him all the sins of the children of Israel and all their transgressions on the head of the goat. Then it shall be led away by the hand of a chosen man into the wilderness. And the goat shall bear upon him all their iniquities to a land which is not inhabited, in which no one lives. And he shall let the goat go in the wilderness. All right, now let's just ask a couple of questions. Has heaven ever been pictured as a wilderness? No. There are some people who say, because the sins are confessed over this live goat, that this is a type of Christ ascending to heaven for the forgiveness of our sins. However, the goat was led away by the hand of a fit man. Was Christ taken up to heaven by angels? Or did he ascend because he was God? Obviously, because he was God. Now, why have the sins been put on the head of the live goat? Were they not already all forgiven with the sacrifice of the first goat, the one to God? And if he forgives the sin, they're forgiven, correct? Yes. Now why? The answer is this. It doesn't matter how perfect you may be in the flesh. Were Adam and Eve perfect? Yes. In the flesh? Yes. What happened when the serpent was loosed upon them? They sinned. Question. Who was the author of those sins? Satan, the devil. So the answer is this. As long as Satan is around, there will never be perfect righteousness. There will always be sin. So he has to be removed, but in type, since he was made of spirit, he cannot die because God decreed that he would not kill him. And we find that on the seventh day of the Feast of Tabernacles, it pictures Satan and the demons cast into the lake of fire. At the beginning of the millennium, they were put in prison, then let loose for a short season, then cast into the lake of fire. Now we will see that lake of fire will consume the whole earth and everything. We'll have to wait for the last great day to get to that. Okay, but it says in Jude that the wandering stars, that Satan and demons, For them is reserved the blackest of darkness forever. Now, this is what that wilderness pictures. And Satan and the demons will be bound there forever, so that everyone in the kingdom of God, in the family of God, will know and understand forever that in order for God's magnificent plan to be carried out in the way that he wants it carried out, there cannot be sin and rebellion against God. That's the long and short of the whole thing. All right? That's why all the sins are confessed upon the head of the goat, that is for Azazel, because Satan is responsible for all human sin. Now let's go on. And the goat shall bear upon him all the iniquities to a land in which no one lives, and he shall let the goat go in the wilderness. Now we'll see something about the wilderness here in just a little bit. And Aaron shall come into the tabernacle, he shall change all of his clothes and so forth, wash his flesh, then he will come and offer the other offerings to make atonement for himself and for the people. Now then, come down here to verse 26. And he that let go the goat for Azazel, now this is a type of the angel, Revelation 20, who cast Satan into the prison, shall wash his clothes, bathe his flesh in water, and afterward come into the camp. And then he says, the blood of the bullock, the goat, shall make an atonement. Okay. And then they shall carry forth outside the camp. Now, this was everything that was left of the sin offering was taken out to what is called the Mifkat altar, which is up on the side of the Mount of Olives. There they burned all the sin offerings to ashes. Very interesting, isn't it? What's going to happen to those people who commit the unpardonable sin and don't repent? They are burned to ashes in the lake of fire. Is that not true? So here's the parallel. Getting rid of all the sin, burning it up. And then it says, and he who burns them shall wash his clothes, bathe his flesh in water, verse 28, and afterward come into the camp, outside the camp. And it shall be a statute forever in the seventh month, on the tenth day of the month, and you shall afflict your souls and do no work at all, whether it be one of your own country or a stranger who is living among you. For on that day, an atonement shall be made for you to cleanse you, that you may be clean from all your sins. It shall be a Sabbath of rest to you, and you shall afflict your souls by a statute forever of rigid obedience. Now, let's look at it this way, too. It's not a matter of rigid obedience that God wants no more sin. It's a matter of love. And love is going to be the whole foundation of everything that God does for eternity, because God is love. All right, now the man who took the goat out in the wilderness, he will wash his clothes and cleanse his flesh and so forth. Now, verse 29, and it shall be a statute forever to you in the seventh month. On the tenth day of the month, you shall afflict your souls and shall do no work at all, whether it be one of your own country or a stranger who is living among you. For on that day, an atonement shall be made for you to cleanse you, so that you may be clean from all your sins before the Lord. It shall be a Sabbath of rest to you, and you shall afflict your souls by statute. And so there are the instructions for it. Okay? Now then, let's see some other things concerning this Day of Atonement. Now we know the account. Let's go back to Genesis 3. You know, it's good for us to go back and review these things and know them, even though we understand what is there, you know, and we learn every time we go over the Word of God, we learn more again. Okay? Now let's understand something about Satan the devil. Satan has a very convincing, sweet side, or gentle side to him, because he is the master deceiver. Okay? And that's what it means here, Genesis 3 and verse 1. Genesis 3 and verse 1. Now, and when you watch all the documentaries on how people got religion, it all comes back to the serpent. And that's none other than Satan the devil. Now, verse 1. Now, the serpent was more cunning than any creature of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Is it true that God has said?" Innocent sounding question. "That you shall not eat of any tree of the garden." Now, God didn't say that. God said just the opposite. "You may eat of every tree that's in the garden." Now, isn't it interesting, every idea to add to or take away from the Word of God, where did it originate? From Satan the devil. And the woman, she gave the right answer. She said, "We may freely eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit that is in the middle of the garden, God has indeed said." So there is added instruction that God gave. "You shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die." And the serpent said to the woman, "In dying you shall not surely die." Well, now let's think about this for just a minute. How did Jesus appear to the disciples after he was resurrected from the dead? He appeared as flesh and bone, not flesh and blood, flesh and bone. He shed his blood for the sins. How did he enter the room? Walk through the wall or door? Was he a spirit being? Yes. But he appeared to the disciples as flesh and bone. Why? Because no man can be in the presence of God and see his glory or see his face and live. Now let's come back here to the Garden of Eden. How did God appear to Adam and Eve? Well, he couldn't appear to them in his glorified form because they would die. So he appeared as flesh and bone. Now, newly created by God and being the best and most perfect human beings ever, 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 and they had a language already programmed into their brain, they could talk with each other. We don't know how long that they were there with God, but we know that they would walk with God in the evening, cool of the evening, talk with God. So God had to have appeared to them as flesh and bone. So when Satan brings up this statement, "You shall not surely die." Now they were closer, they thought, to what God actually was, because he looked like them. They were made in his image, right? Yes. All right. So when the serpent says, verse 5, "For God knows." God is hiding something from you. He's not telling you something. "That in the day that you eat of it, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be like God." Now, that seemed like a logical step to take to them at that point, right? Do you want to be like God? So they thought about it. Now, here's what they could do. They could not be like God in any other way than this. And here they had to exercise their free moral agency, independent free moral agency, IFMA, to choose whether they would obey God or not. So you see, as soon as Satan comes on the scene, sin is there. Also, Jesus said that Satan the devil, whom the religious leaders of his day were serving instead of God, was the father of lies, and a murderer from the beginning. Now here's the only way that they could be like God, after a fashion. deciding good and evil, whether they, what God said, what they said, will make the decision. Now then, they made the wrong decision, and sin entered into the world and passed on to all of us, correct? Now, here's another thing concerning sin. Sin can appear to be very attractive, can appear to give you a great benefit. That's how people get hooked on sin. That's how they get hooked on drugs. Precisely like this. It'll never happen to you. You're smart, you're intelligent. You can handle it. You won't become an addict. Here, try some of this pot. It's really good stuff. It'll make you feel good. You can relax. You can just kind of lay back out and just cool out. That'd be nice. And they know that marijuana is a gateway drug to other drugs. So what comes a little later? Cocaine, heroin, and meth. And what happens? In dying, you shall surely die, exactly as God said. But Satan comes along to give a benefit. And his benefit is an unlawful benefit, but it is very enticing. And how many people fall for it? It'll make you feel good. You know, the German soldiers took Prevotin, which was crystal meth, during World War II. You watch that on American Heroes Channel. Quite a thing. All right? Now, verse 6, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes, very attractive. Yes. Wonderful. A tree to be desired to make one wise. And doesn't everyone want to be smart and intelligent? I mean, look at the vanity of the elite and how smug they are in their satanic deception of atheism and evolution. Why, you poor little crumbs down here who believe in God, just wait. Just wait. God has a surprise for you. When he resurrects us, we'll look at them and say, remember when you thought you were so smart? Make one wise. She took of the fruit and ate. Took a bite and probably said, why, that tastes wonderful. That's sweet. That's nice. Why would God say not eat this? You know, maybe the serpent is right. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. And the eyes of both of them were opened, actually shut. Shut to righteousness, but opened to sin. And they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the sound of the Lord, walking in the garden, in the cool of the day, they hid themselves. God knew where they were. God knew what they had done. But he wanted to find out from them. So you know what happened? All mankind from that time forth was cut off from any access to the tree of life, any access to salvation. Now, they still may have had some contact with God at the east entrance of the Garden of Eden, but they couldn't go into the Garden of Eden any longer. And they received in themselves the law of sin and of death. And in dying, you shall surely die. And the New Testament tells us that as in Adam, all die. Isn't that something? All die. The only one to overcome death was Jesus Christ. And he declared to John in the first chapter of Revelation, behold, I was dead, but now I am alive forevermore, and I, Jesus, have the keys to death and the grave. So Satan didn't accomplish anything here his way. But Adam and Eve chose the wrong way, and you know the rest of the story to there. Okay? Now, he's deceiving the whole world. Now in the end time, look at the sins that are happening. Look at the way that the world is. And all because of Satan, the devil. And that's why he has to be removed forever. Now let's see. Come here to Job, the first chapter. Job, the first chapter. That's quite an interesting thing. Let's go there. Job, the first chapter. That's right after the book of Proverbs in the Bible in its original order. Job, the first chapter. Now let's see something. Satan and the demons still have limited access to God. And God uses them to carry out different things that God wants done. And we find that Satan said to God concerning Job, well, you put a hedge around him, meaning God didn't allow Satan to get to Job. And so everything was fine. Job thought it was wonderful. Job thought it was great. But he could see that his sons were sinning, and so he made burnt offerings and prayed for them every day, lest they sin against God. God do some things. So we find in verse 6 of the book of Job, chapter 1, Job 1, 6. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. He could come before God on periodic occasions. And the Lord said to Satan, where do you come? And Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. Why? Because he's the God of this world. And it says in 1 John the 5th chapter, that the whole world is under the power of the evil one. So he has that power. So the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a blameless and upright man, or one who fears God, turns away from evil? And Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear God for nothing? Interesting. Why do you love and fear God with all your heart, mind, soul, and being? Now, if it's only because he's going to give you eternal life, see, God wants that permanent connection with him spiritually. Not like Job, just because there are some benefits that are given, because it shows that using Satan the devil, God can take him away just like that, right? Well, we won't go through the book of Job. You can do that by getting our series, Why God Hates Religion. Now, we also know in 1 Chronicles 21 that Satan tempted David, and he fell for the temptation and numbered the children of Israel. And we also find that in Zechariah 3, that Satan is standing there right alongside the high priest Joshua, the son of Josedek, to resist him. And of course it shows that the final one will be one of the two witnesses. And then an angel came and rebuked Satan, saying, the Lord rebuke you. Go ahead and take a pause. We'll come back here in a bit.